Hello, I'm Mariette Snyman. Welcome to Calm, Clear and Helpful, a weekly podcast series on taking good care of yourself and others. Introducing you to a wide range of wellness professionals ready to inform and inspire. Today's topic is how to share your heart and history with those you love. My guest is Dr. Melody de Jager, human development specialist, educator, author, and keynote speaker from Johannesburg. Welcome back on the show, Melody.
Good morning, Mariette. Thank you very much for having me. It's always an absolute pleasure to spend time in your presence.
Thank you, and I feel the same, and we always have fun.
It's important.
Melody, you're captivated by human development from the cradle to the grave. Tell us more about your life's work.
Mariette, I am in awe of nature. And human beings are part of that. And I'm also amazed at how nature seems to replenish itself and sustain itself. And human beings have this weird tendency to take away and not always to add. So it's always intrigued me, why would human beings, if we seem hell-bent on destroying it, why would we do that? So I try to understand the human mind. I try to understand what makes us do what we do. And for that reason, I studied the brain. Well, education first, because learning is the ability to adapt. And if you can't adapt, you can't change. So it was very important for me to, first of all, determine, are we really able to change? And yes, the answer is yes. Thank you. Neuroscience and neuroplasticity. And then the whole thing of, okay, so what enables us to learn? And what can prevent us from learning? And that brought me to the work of Michelle Udar, who wrote about the incredible importance of mother love. Because according to O'Dowd, who quoted somebody else, whose name I just can't remember right now, he said if we can harness the energy of love, we'll see a change in humanity, similar to what happened when fire was discovered. And it can be momentous, it can be in the moment. And what he talked about is how mother love is the prototype of all kinds of love, love for each other, siblings, things, animals, the earth, spiritual, God, if you want to. And so if every mother just loves her own children, we can change the world. And that's my work, how to love.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And I suppose if one feels that one hasn't really received the mother love that you needed, there are other ways of getting that in your life.
It's true and it's not, because mother love is such a given. Mother doesn't have a choice whether she wants to love this little offspring or not. Well, that's how we feel about it. But then we forget that our mothers are also human beings and that they were also hurt and maybe not loved. So how must they know how? So the important thing is to understand that love's a choice. And if you didn't get it the way you wanted it, as you quite rightly said, then be ingenious in the ways that you discover love. And it always starts with self-love, because if your cup's not full, well, I think in terms of a bucket for some reason, but if your bucket is not full and overflowing with love and feeling loved and feeling that you matter, where must you get to give? And you know, sometimes it's just a look, an uncalled for comment or whatever, but it drills little holes in our buckets, which drains that feeling of fullness and I've got to give. You know, that there's a hole in my bucket, dear Liza, dear Liza. That's why I think of my heart as in a bucket. So yeah, if we can't love and connect with ourselves, how on earth do we do that with others?
And today we are talking about love. And as you said, ingeniously discovering love, but also offering love. You've just mentioned connection. I think most of us yearn for connection. Can you say more about that?
Absolutely. I think the most frightening thing on earth is to think you are alone. Not to think it, to feel it. You know, I think it's a Joshua Caddison song, The Invisible Man, where the guy shouts out the window of his flat or what, apartment probably, just for other people to tell him to shut up, because that was evidence that he's not alone.
Mm-hmm.
C.S. Lewis says, we read to know we're not alone. That's what he said when he was a bachelor. But then he fell in love in his 60s, and then he changed it, and he said, we love to know we're not alone. So I think there's a theme in humanity that is the fear of being alone. And for that reason, we yearn for the connection. But I think it's incredibly primal. We are part of the mammalian species. And those are the ones who give birth to a living thing and not an egg, who breastfeeds because we are to self-sustain, and we are born vulnerable. All mammalians are born vulnerable, and therefore they need care for a period of time, because it's in that care that we actually learn to become human. We're not born human. We're human becomings. I'm often criticized for saying that, saying it's not true, especially people who are deeply religious. I am deeply religious. But I know the science behind being human. Mm. And that means we need to learn from others how to be human beings. And then we get to a stage where we start, wow, my role models may not have been A-class. I can. And then nature endows us with this gift of the ability to decide. Because as a friend of mine and inspirational speaker, Steve Duplessis often says, we are where we are due to choices we've made or choices we failed to make. Oh, we didn't choose our parents. Well, that's debatable by some as well. But let's just for today say we didn't choose them.
Mm.
We happened. And then say, you know, say you happened. And now, can you change? Can you choose? Absolutely. And it's always in the best interest of the human being of this planet, if we choose to go for connection and we choose love. That is a wise choice.
That's true on all levels, for humanity right down to oneself.
Absolutely, to the cells in your body. Because isn't love energy?
I never thought of it that way.
It's energy. It's an energy exchange. You understand? And if we choose all the negatives, and if we choose disconnection, and if we choose loneliness, doesn't that diminish? Well, you can't diminish energy. It can change shape. It can change form, says the scientist, the physicist. It can't ever stop. But I think we can experience less of it. And that makes us feel less. And that makes us believe that we are less. And if I have so little, what have I got to give you?
Mm. I was wondering what gets in the way of connection in terms of really listening to each other and sharing our thoughts and feelings. I know there are many things.
I wish I had the answer to that, Mariette. But I think between you and me, there's a beautiful song in Afrikaans. There's in jou en my, let out a berg, let out a berg. And then Josie goes on with the song. And I think it's really true, because between you and me, there's a space. And in that space, there can be many, many pasts. There can be many narratives, stories we tell ourselves. So it's very difficult to get through. It's not a mountain because, well, then we have to drill and get the engineers and all of that. And mm-hmm. it's too lengthy, it's too expensive. But there's stuff between people. And that stuff is sometimes so dense that we actually can't reach each other. Yes, it is our inability to listen. because there's so much noise out there. The ears are actually desensitizing to really listen, just to cope with the amount of noise out there. You understand? So I really think there are many, many things, but there's this marvelous little thing called the human spirit and the want to. And that want to connect, I think, has a way of finding, in ingenious ways, finding a way through this stuff in between.
That's beautifully said.
And I think that want to is called love. Because isn't that to want to reach out?
That is what it is.
It's not on condition that. It's not that. It's I reach out. Whether you deserving, I'm deserving, it's not the question. I am, you are, and therefore I reach out.
Melody, a while ago you wrote a thought-provoking article in Lalasini magazine on the legacy we leave. And that really set me thinking, because let's talk about a legacy. When people usually talk about a legacy, what is the first thing that comes to mind?
Stuff.
Yeah.
Concrete stuff. It's property, it's money, bonds. I don't mean property bonds. I mean the ones in the bank. I believe they're called bonds. Collections, a family recipe with a key ingredient. It can be a house at the sea, you know. It can be so many different things, but it's normally things. And I think I would rather define that as inheritance. A legacy to me is something a little less tangible. So what's important to me? What inspired me? Not me, I'm talking hypothetically.
Yes.
It's in a legacy is something I want to give or I want to leave and you want to keep. Because the whole thought, the reason for the article was Tuesdays with Maury by Mitch Albom.
Oh.
I read that for, I think, the fourth time over many, many years. And he wrote this most profound thought that we actually die two deaths. The one is the physical death, but the other one is of being forgotten.
Mm.
That's another death. And I thought, isn't that so true? Well, he continues to say, we are sometimes so afraid of dying that we never live, because we're so busy being afraid of dying. You see, so I don't know. Why can we be surprised by death? It's a given. Meet Joe Black. Beautiful Brad Pitt said, there's two things, death and taxes. So deal with it, you know? Deal with it. And the moment you've dealt with it, then maybe you can live. You see? So an inheritance is the tangibles in my mind. A legacy is intangible. It's that something that I want to leave.
I think in the article you talked about die geur wat jy nalaat, the fragrance you leave, and that, or the fragrance you spread, maybe. And that, to me, was such an evocative metaphor.
Marit, I think, you know, when you, Afrikaanse kuier, you know you kuier. I don't know how you kuier in English. What would you...
That is being in each other's company.
Yeah, but it's really being there. Yeah. It's really being present. It's not just spending time together.
True.
So, and if somebody leaves the room, you know, the whole atmosphere changes. Unfortunately, sometimes for the better. But in this context, it leaves something behind that lingers on, and it can linger for years. And I think this is a vital thing in terms of legacy. We often think of our own legacy, but I think as human beings, maybe we back at the bucket, but I think sometimes we forget to tell other people of a legacy that they've left in True. Our lives. And I think of a couple of people in my own life that's left a legacy that changed the trajectory of my life. They don't even know it. You see, and I think it's so important that we find these people and say it. And if we can't, do it through a podcast or through a way, even Facebook, if you really want to. But we hopefully that message reaches them and they know, oh, I did make a difference. You know, Joshua Katterson, there is a voice coming back that said, you mattered. You matter. I think it's incredibly important. So a legacy is one's own, but it can also be a legacy that somebody else left that you would like to share with them. How that impacted on you. What was the context? Because they probably won't remember the moment.
Yeah.
Because most often, it's just an incident, it's a moment in time. And a practical example, so years and years ago, I wanted to buy a house, but I had no money, but I had a very good credit record and an amazing skill to beg. And I begged for a deposit at one bank. I begged for the transfer, for the bond somewhere else. And the only thing that was outstanding, and I had 15 minutes till the offer expired, I had to get the transfer fees as well. And I walked into a bank, and the lady's name was Ronnie, and she had red hair, and she explained that I needed to borrow transfer fees, but I had a time limit. And she said, only on the condition that you take the bond from us as well. And in that moment, changed my life. She changed my life. Her vote of confidence. She didn't know me from a bar of soap.
Mm.
She hasn't even, at that stage, she didn't even look me up on the system when I was banking there. She gave me a home.
Mm.
She gave me the means to have a home that I still have 30-odd years later.
Yes, plus the institute that is on the same property.
Absolutely, absolutely. And Mariette, without a shadow of a doubt, I can tell you Ronnie didn't know. She changed the trajectory of my life.
Yeah. And you've just made the point that we don't leave this legacy when we're gone.
No.
We create it every day while we're still alive.
You see, that's why I think we leave stuff when we die. But the legacy, we leave a legacy all the time. But we can also consciously leave a legacy. You know, some people write a poem, some write a letter, some write a book. Oh, I recently, through the same magazine, La Lessini, was involved with a lady. Well, I saw her paintings about children's game in watercolors. And it touched me because my heart is really with a very young child and the importance of the innocence of childhood and to protect that, obviously, within love. And I then asked her if we can work together on a project. And then I thought, don't you want to write this up? And then she said what she did, because those paintings are part of a legacy that she left for her own grandchildren. So she wrote about a small period of her life in a place called Katberg, which I think is somewhere in Hoxburg, East London way. And when I read that, she revoked a part of my life, because she was talking about her dad being on the railways. My dad was. And our holidays on the train. I was there with her.
Mm.
But she gave me such a gift in leaving a legacy to her grandchildren, because she reminded me of a part of my life that I haven't remembered in a long, long time. So I think I was spending time with a friend of mine, Johan Meiberg, recently. And we were talking about legacies, strangely enough. And he was saying that he thinks a legacy is something that It's persistent. It doesn't want to be forgotten. Because when we pass, all our memories, and this is more important, our interpretation of our memories and our experiences, they become quiet. And so we were talking about what are those persistent thoughts that don't want to leave you. And maybe it's because there's some value in that, that you would like to pass on a very light note. There's this story about the family of women who, for generations, when they bake a bread, it comes to a certain stage after a certain number of minutes, take it out, chop off the top of the bread, put it back in the oven and go on. And every time the family members would question, why do you do that?
Yeah.
Because that's how you bake bread. Because that's how my mom taught me. And you know, it went on like that. And then at one stage, somebody went back, thank heavens, the old granny was still alive. And she said, but mom, why do we do that?
Yeah.
And she said, that's not how you bake bread. That's how we baked bread then, all those years ago. Our oven was so small. We had to chop it, the top off at some stage to enable it to really rise.
Can you believe it?
But can you imagine that,
yeah,
that recipe perpetuated through generations, chopping off the top of the bread, because nobody remembered or maybe asked why.
Yeah, and you know, I had a similar experience now earlier this year when my daughter, who's in her 30s, she said to me, she's scared that I might pass on. I think most children have that fear. And there are questions she would like to ask me about being a mother and about living and about our relationship.
Wow.
My relationship with her.
Wow.
And this was around Mother's Day. So she said she wanted to have my answers in a form that she could keep, that she could listen to again. So what we did is we recorded a podcast, which is part of this Calm, Clear and Helpful series. But she was the one who sat in the chair to ask the questions.
Wow, Marit, what a privilege.
Yes, that was very special.
What a wise daughter.
Oh, yes, she's wise. And yeah, we recorded a very, very long podcast, and she did the editing and so on. And she shortened it quite a bit, but I still have the original, you know, with all those questions that she asked. And my parents have both been dead for a very long time, for decades. And I so wish that I had the same opportunity to speak to them and, you know, ask them some questions. So I've had a first-hand experience, I think, of leaving a little of the legacy that you've been speaking about.
That is remarkable, Mariet. And I think it is such a privilege to be asked to leave a legacy.
Yeah.
What a compliment.
Yeah.
To you as a mother.
Yeah.
Wow. What a connection.
Yeah, that was very special. And because we had both thought about the questions before, I didn't have the specific questions, but we identified themes, I could think about it and reflect. And I think that in itself was a gift.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I spoke at a conference one day, and during the question and answer session, somebody asked me, what is the legacy that you leave your children? And I said, no, I haven't got the foggiest idea.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to ask them. And then sometimes it's very humbling. They say two things. You have one name, guard it with all your heart, because if it's gone, it's gone. That's one thing I drilled into them. And the other one is, if the bank wants to give you money and you don't need it, take it, because when you need it, they won't give it to you. So according to my three children, I leave a very, very practical legacy. But Mariette, what a privilege to be able to hear. And I think here is a key factor, because writing down is marvelous. But there's something primal about sound. I talk about the Big Bang. You know, it's as though everything started with sound, not a light burst. Mm. If it was a Big Bang, I'm sure there must have been light as well. Well, how sure am I? I'm not, but I guess so. Mm. But there's something primal about sound. And the moment you can leave a recording, the person stays alive. Years ago, I was working in Richards Bay, and I was teaching teachers, and I was talking about the different learning styles, visual, auditory, kinesthetic, and how each of us, we've actually done a podcast about it, yes. I think, how each of us have a preferred sensory modality. Coming back to your comment earlier about connection, it's a specific sense that enables us to connect on a deeper level. And when you meet somebody that speaks the sense that meets your deepest sensory connection, then it's a match made in heaven because they speak to your heart. Mm. But this, a mom put her hand up and she said, her daughter passed away, I think it was 3 years ago at that stage. She was in her early 20s, she passed away in a motor accident. And she said, you just helped me make sense of my strange behavior, because for a year, the mom paid the daughter's cell phone account so she could phone and hear her daughter's voice message.
Oh.
Because that was way before we did voice messages.
The WhatsApp notes.
That kind of thing. Yeah. It was when we SMS did things like that. Because sound keeps a person alive.
Mm.
Photos are different. Videos are different. Sound is what echoes. I think it's because it echoes inside of us. So to leave a sound bite is magnificent.
You just make me realize how often I have wished that I had a sound bite of my dad's voice, yeah, and my mother's voice.
Yes. Yes, it's very emotive because we connect on a completely different level. I think it's because when you're in utero, you hear your mom and your dad. You hear, well, it's buffered, but you hear them. You connect. That's actually your very first lifeline. Yes, the umbilical cord, but you're not completely aware of that. The sound, it reaches out to you. And it reaches out to you from inside your mom through vibration. So, yeah, I think the vibration of sound is a phenomenal way to connect emotionally and to keep memories alive.
Yeah, and this is what I, from my side, want to share today, is between my daughter's idea of doing the podcast and your article on what a legacy is in Lalasini, I have developed something that I hope will help many people connect with their loved ones.
Oh, Marie, tell.
In fact, it was my daughter's idea because she said to me, why don't I offer individuals who want to speak their heart, so to say, to a loved one, the chance to have a conversation with me, which I will lead as I'm used to doing in a podcast, where they can talk about what the other person means to them or the history they share. I was thinking specifically about the woman you mentioned who wrote the book about her Katberg history.
Yeah.
And we must add that link to the podcast notes. I would so much have liked to know what my parents' childhoods were like. Or my dad passed away even before my children were born. I would so much like them to have a sense of what he was like.
Yes.
So I would really like someone to ask me in a conversation about him and then to record that and leave that to my children who never knew their grandfather. So I have created something called Gift Podcasts, which I explain on my website. It's in the menu at the top. But the best thing would be to give some examples of what I have in mind, which have been inspired by you and my daughter, Marthe Marie. I was thinking, say a couple have been married for 10 years, and the man or the woman wants to give a very special anniversary gift to their partner. Then they could do a gift podcast, which means that I would speak to them in a private conversation, privately recorded conversation, so it doesn't go onto any public platform, about their history together. Just speaking to the one person who wants to give the podcast about their history with their beloved, about challenges maybe they've had. You know, sometimes we go through hard patches. Mm-hmm. About fun times they shared, or journeys, or the growth.
Wow.
And what they appreciate about the other person. And that could then be wrapped up in this conversation and turned into an MP3, which they can offer as a gift to the other person.
Marit, that is absolutely, that is a legacy in its own, to create opportunities for others to leave a legacy. Marit, that is incredible. If we just rewind our conversation, and that between people, you know, the stuff that comes between people, the moment you do a podcast like that, or a legacy podcast, you reach right through that stuff. You actually bypass it all. And you are saying, what I would have liked to say, or my, you know, what I would have liked to say if we could connect. But let me attempt to connect straight to your heart in a medium like this. Because you know how relationships are. Sometimes there's so many things in between that you don't get the opportunity. Well, we also don't make the opportunity, but it just happens sometimes. And sometimes people are far away. And sometimes they're far away on an emotional level.
Mm.
But it doesn't stop us from wanting to reach. There must be many other ways you have envisaged that this offering can be used or utilized.
I so like what you are saying, that one creates the intent and the time and space to do this. And I also thought that if I am the one who speaks to this person who wants to create the gift podcast, then there's no one else to interfere with their thoughts.
Yes.
You know, because we can do it in a reflective manner. And as I do with the podcasts I create with wellness professionals, this is not the same thing, but it's similar in the sense that we reflect beforehand, my guest and I, on what we are going to talk about, what the intention is, what we are aiming at. And then I always create a framework of questions, which I send them beforehand and ask them, do you think this will cover the topic? And then they say, yes, maybe you can add this question. I don't like that question, take it out. And then we have a shared basis to start
on.
And I was thinking, say somebody wants to tell their grandchildren about their husband who has passed away. Then I will speak to them beforehand and say, tell me about your husband. How are we going to approach this? Here are questions I will ask you. And then we have a framework for our conversation before we record. And then when we sit and record, which mostly is done remotely by WhatsApp call, just audio, not video, then the person has a chance to express in a comfortable way.
In a safe environment.
In a safe environment.
Safe, emotionally safe.
Yes.
It's a give.
Yeah.
It's a give.
Yeah.
Verb, but it's also a gift.
Yeah.
I don't know. Wow.
Then they can express their thoughts and their feelings about this person. And then also I regularly edit episodes because I find that sometimes people need a little time to think before they answer. Or sometimes they cough or whatever. So I also like to edit each podcast very carefully so that when it comes out, it is a conversation from the heart with nothing to distract from that emotion that comes through.
Oh, Maria, it is such an offering, because what you are offering people actually is, let me hold your hand while you communicate something that's really close to your heart. Mariette, and if there's a person who doesn't want a conversation framework, but rather wants to just talk or even read something that they've written, would there be scope for that?
Oh, they definitely would. The way I like to work is to have a preliminary conversation with someone. So that could be a Zoom call, or it could be a WhatsApp call, just to talk to the person about, you know, like when I talk to the wellness professionals, we do that beforehand. Let's just speak to each other and see whether we are a good fit.
Yes.
Because, you know, people may think of doing this and then they've spoken to me during the preliminary call and they think, no, this is not going to work, then we just can it right there and then, no problem. But on the other hand, if it's a good fit, then I get a sense of what they are like and they get a sense of what I am like, and then we can just fly.
Marie, but there's something else as well, isn't there, where maybe somebody would like to, and I'm going to use the word abuse now, this offering to make somebody else feel guilty, to insult, surely you'll have some kind of way to, because we call it the ecology check, to make sure that whatever is going to be created ennobles. You know, it adds to life. It's not going to detract from anybody's life or anything like that.
Yeah, you really touch a point that I have been thinking about. And that is another reason why the preliminary call is very important.
That makes very sense.
Because I have a disclaimer at the bottom of my website that says only content that is in line with what I envision for the website, which is to be a tool of healing.
Yes.
Not a tool of destruction.
Yes.
So this falls in the same category. Also, I will, during the conversation, if it goes in that direction where it's going to become abusive and it will harm someone, then I will say, this is not going to work. Fortunately, I can edit the conversation afterwards. Should the person then not agree, then we will just have to leave it and not do it.
Mariette, but also, what if my legacy, I'm not talking about me again, I'm being a hypothetical, what if the legacy that I want to leave is personal? But I would actually like to share it with somebody specific. But maybe it has greater... I'm open to the thought that it can also be for public consumption.
Consumption. I'm also thinking of the word consumption.
But you know, because sometimes there's universal truth in... Because you nailed it when you said there's time to reflect. Mm. Because I think, per definition... A legacy is not something that you do on the fly. It's something...
True.
It comes from way back. Or it can be something recent, but you've reflected about that. And there's an echo. There's a certain... I'm going to say vibration. There's a certain persistence that it feels persistent. It keeps on echoing. And for that reason, you want to share it publicly. Would there be an opportunity for that as well?
Yes, I think there are various ways, because how I envisage it is that if I record with, say, someone called Linda, and this is now the gift podcast that she wants for, say, her siblings. She wants to create a podcast for her siblings about growing up together, maybe growing apart, you know, when they became adults, then maybe reconnecting. why she values each of her siblings, create a gift podcast like that. And in case there's a lot of wisdom in that and we feel it could go to a wider public, firstly, of course, I'm going to give it to her. It's her private conversation, which she has in the form of an MP3, which she can send to individuals, which she can share on WhatsApp groups or on her social media if she likes. But of course, if I feel that it could work on my Calm, Clear and Helpful series, my podcast series, I could ask her if it could be showcased there as well.
You said her, but it can also be a him.
Yes.
Or anybody else.
Yes, I would love to have a him do that as well, because I know men, if we want to generalize, they tend to steer away from stuff that gets emotional. But remember that you can also create a gift podcast for you. I was going to say grandsons, and then I thought now I'm being sexistic, for your grandchildren about your hobby, which is woodwork, you know, and leave your best tips. Maybe that's not the best example because that's a very visual thing to do. But maybe you have a hobby which you can sum up in an auditory session and give your best tips and how you came to this and what it means to you.
Yeah, but Marit, it can also, I'm sure, somebody who has just overcome, they can be very young, but they're an overcomer.
Mm.
And they want to share something of that, maybe with peers. There's that opportunity as well. I was at a conference recently where a lady talked about, she's an African lady, and she spoke about how difficult it was as an African lady to do mountain climbing, mountaineering,
sure.
and her journey and what she had to overcome. She's a young, beautiful, vibrant person, but I mean, there's a legacy in that. That is not necessarily for her family, but that can be for peers, for young people in a similar situation like that, that says, don't give up. Don't give up. You know, is there some topic that would be a taboo as a podcast? Obviously, if it's not ennobling or positive.
Yeah, I think there are no topics that are taboos. It all depends on how one speaks about it. Because if, for instance, if I do a podcast on sexual abuse, it depends on whether I'm going to do that respectfully.
Yeah.
And you know, what is the intention? What are the words we use? So I don't think there is any taboo topic. And looking at cultural restraints, it might be a very good idea if a mum who wants to speak to her daughters and even maybe her daughter's peers about something that is, in air commas, culturally a taboo, if she would do a podcast on that. It could be a tool of education as well.
Absolutely. You're such an accoladed, if there's such a word, journalist, and you create such a sense of safety when you interview. Your ability to listen is phenomenal. I've experienced that since the very first interview we've done together. Thank you for that, Mariette. You really, really make a person feel heard. Number one, you make a person feel safe to such an extent that you are prepared to be vulnerable. Because I think part of the gift of a podcast as a legacy is that one is prepared to go into your place of vulnerability, that you would not necessarily show a lot of people because you're in a safe environment, in a safe relationship with you in that moment, which enables you to be vulnerable and be honest. Because at the end of the day, what people remember is always how they felt. Because feeling, if I go neurophysiology for a moment, but feeling is like the glue that sticks stuff to memory. So if there's an emotional response, you will remember it. If there's very little emotional response, we tend to forget. If something touches you deep, you don't forget it, positive or negative. Okay? So when you in the podcast and you in a safe environment, and you can be vulnerable in that moment and speak from the heart to the heart.
Mm-hmm.
It goes right through all the stuff that might have been in between us.
Thank you, Melody. Yes, you know, my work gives me the opportunity to speak to people very directly on things that are close to them and
yes.
that are valuable to them. And that is why I always feel so privileged if I'm able to do that.
Sure.
Because it creates a certain intimacy, which I think is healthy. And I really do hope that this offering for those people who want to do it and who can do it will be a healing tool for relationships and will spread more love. It sounds so maybe a bit too sweet to put it that way, but I think I do think we all need to feel that we are loved and seen.
Absolutely. But Marit, I think you will be able to do, and the people who participate will be able to release energy. You see, because sometimes there's so much emotion locked up. Listen to how we say it. It's locked up in a situation. And maybe through one's own interpretation and the opportunity to talk about it, we get to release that energy, which invariably seems to be healing. That would be marvelous. I would love to share a quote from Mitch Albom, where he says, well, he was towards the end of his life. And remember, we said a legacy is not necessary when the end is imminent. But he said, I don't want to forget him. That him can also, I think, be interpreted, I don't want to forget that situation, that moment, and that's why I want to talk about it. But then Mitch is so incredibly honest, and he said, maybe I don't want him to forget me.
Mm.
So I give him a gift of maybe a legacy podcast. He didn't say that, I just added the last bit.
How beautiful. Thank you, Melody. Thank you, Melody. We have worked together so many years, and as friends we have shared so many things. And thank you for opening up this new avenue to me. And especially I want to thank you for the lovely, honest and open conversation we had today. It means such a lot to me. Thank you.
I thank you.
Go to my website, www.marietsneeman.co.za, for this episode's podcast notes, and for free articles and podcast episodes on how to live a happier life and have more fulfilling relationships. To follow me on Facebook, just search for Mariette Sneeman, journalist. Calm, Clear and Helpful is compiled, hosted and edited by me, with original music by Mart Marie Sneeman. Catch you next Tuesday at 9:00.